Well, guys, we are in a series this morning called He Shall Be Called, and it comes from Isaiah. And if you'll open up your book to Isaiah chapter 9, it says this: "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We talked about last week that he is our Wonderful Counselor, and that gives us hope. We need a counselor, someone that understands us and walks with us and encourages us and pushes us to move forward, and we thank God for that. And today, we need, in this day and time, we need a mighty God. And so today, we will look at the second word, Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How awesome and mighty is our God. Our mighty God, and that's who we're talking about today. And think for a moment about God's creation. Think about the sunrises and the sunsets, or when you see the stars, and you can appreciate the creator of the universe. Jeremiah is a prophet in the Old Testament, and he has this beautifully crafted scripture that talks about how great and how mighty God is. And it's interesting because it starts with a word, ah. It's translated as ah. It's a Hebrew word, and it means a painful groan. It's like, I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to let it come out of me. Ah, God. And this is the scripture. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Do you see that? He made the heaven and the earth by his great what? Power. And it says this: there is nothing that is too difficult or hard for him. And many of us came to church today and we are loaded down with problems. Maybe your marriage is a mess. Maybe your family life is a mess. You don't get along with your kids. Your kids don't get along with you. Maybe your workplace, there's tension there. You can't stand your boss, and really your boss can't stand you, you know? Maybe you lost your job, or you're running a business and it's going under and you don't know where to turn. Let me tell you, no matter how bad it looks, no matter the difficult situation that you may be living through right now, nothing is too difficult for God. The problem is we take all of these situations oftentimes on ourselves and we try to fix them on our own, and it takes us deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper down when we could turn to God and say, God, I've reached the end of all I know to do. I need you to move. Nothing is too hard for you. Some of us have received words from our doctor saying that it doesn't look good. There's nothing too hard for God. He is a mighty God. He's all-powerful. He is almighty. And there are some characteristics. There's three characteristics I want to share with you today. And I've shared with this over and over and over many, many times before. But I want you to kind of chew on it today. The first thing is God is omniscient. The word omni there means all, or everything, or everywhere. So omniscient means God knows everything. God knows omni, all of it. God knows everything. That's what the Bible says. He actually knows your thoughts. He knows your words before you speak them. And some of us are in trouble right now because of what we're thinking. Every now and then, I think I've got this power. I think I'm a little omniscient. Let me give you this example. We went, when I had my motorcycle, went to Lena's house in Monroe. And I was on the motorcycle, and Breck, my grandson, goes, "Papa, will you take me for a ride on your motorcycle?" I'm like, "Sure, man, hop on." So he gets in behind me. And Alex, who happened to be in town at the time, says, "Hey, I want to go too." So he gets on the motorcycle behind Breck. Now, Breck is sandwiched in between me and Alex, and none of us are wearing helmets because we're just going to go for a ride just around the little block, right? So I start down the driveway, and I'm going down the road, and when I'm coming back, I see Margie running down the thing, and I see her mouth moving, and I know she's saying, "What a great father you are, because look at what you're doing. You're taking our son and our grandson. How thoughtful of you." See, I knew what she was thinking. Of course, I was wrong. And she let me know right away. She's waving, she's doing this yelling, and you know, it's like, what? You know, some of us, you've got that power. You're omniscient. You know exactly what your other partner is thinking about because of the way they roll their eyes, right? You know exactly what they're thinking. But let me tell you, God knows your thoughts. God knows what you're going through. God is there. And when you cry out to him and say, God, I'm losing my job. God, I'm losing my faith. God, I'm losing my family. God, I'm losing my mind. He knows your thoughts because he's a mighty God. That's the first one, omniscient. He knows everything. But also, God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. God is everywhere. And that amazes me. I mean, right now, here in Jonesboro, in Atlanta even, everywhere, all around the world right now, in Germany, in Poland, in the Czech Republic, in Ecuador, in Panama, Ukraine, God is there now, this very moment. Even in California. I know you don't believe it, but he's there. No matter where you are today, no matter where you are physically, but where you are mentally and emotionally, God is there. His presence is with you, and his presence is everywhere. That brings comfort. See, when Jesus took flesh, when God took flesh in Jesus and walked on the earth, he could only be in one place at one time. Now, Jesus could do Jesus things. He did miracles. He brought people back from the dead. He took just a little bit of fish and some bread, and he turned it into like a huge meal for everybody, and they collected a ton of crumbs to kind of keep feeding people if they needed to. There was one time he walked across water. There was one time it says he walked through the doors. I mean, he was there, but he could only be in like one place at one time. But God, our Father, is everywhere all at once. And that's kind of hard for us to grasp. He's there when you're alone. He's there when you're in a crowd. He is there with you. He is omnipresent. So he's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's always there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But he's also, the last one, omnipotent. Omnipotent. God can do anything. And this living word is full of signs and wonders and miracles that God has done. There's nothing that is too difficult for God. God is almighty. God is all powerful. God can do anything. And yet sometimes I still don't see it. I look at the world today, and it's just full of pain and suffering. We see wars, and we hear about famine. We see tornadoes that displace everybody. We see death and cancer and all of these things that just kind of hit us in our gut. And we think sometimes, God, where are you? Where are you? I'll even look at my life, and as a pastor, people come to me looking for answers, looking for God's power. I had one of my former youth, whose husband, 49 years old, killed himself just this week. Devastating. And they come to me and, Paul, why would God let something like this happen? And I don't know. I don't have the answer. One day we'll know everything. We don't see everything. But God knows, and God was there. I have friends of mine who've lost their business, went bankrupt, people who have miscarriages. And I'm thinking, God, where is your power? Why are we living so powerless? And maybe today in your life, you're thinking the same thing. God, where are you? Where is your power? Maybe you're in a tough road somewhere with a relationship. Maybe someone has hurt you and you're just hanging on to this root of bitterness and you can't seem to get past it. We're doing this play, and one of the things in the play, you know, one of the characters is, yeah, I left these people behind. I can't forgive them. You don't know what they've done to me. It's like, you're right. I don't know what they've done to you, but as long as you hold on to that, you can't move on. And God knows, and God is all-powerful. You've got more problems, and you're thinking, God, where are you? Maybe you've had a dream for something to happen, and it hasn't happened yet, and you say, God, where's your power? Well, I want to give you some spiritual truths. The first thing, God's power is at work in you. I want you to own that. God's power is at work in you. Jesus is at work in you. Paul writes to the Christians in Philippi, and he says this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He's working power in you so that you can bring glory and pleasure to him. When I first became a Christian, I thought the whole thing was about me. I mean, think about the scriptures. He stands at your door and knocks, right? He gives us the parable of the prodigal son, but the father is just waiting and waiting and waiting for the son to make up his mind and come home, because it's all about the son, we think, but it's not. He's pursuing me after all. He wants to bless me. Surely he'll take all my problems away. You know, At one time I even made a deal with God. I said, you know what? If you give me the numbers to the lottery, I'll give you half. I'll tell you what, I'll give you more than half. I'll just take the first million and I'll give you all the other millions. Right? Well, I didn't even play the lottery, so it would have been a miracle if I'd have won. But you see, it's like, God, let me make this deal because it's about me. See, God's power was not to make my life easy, not to make my road smooth, not to remove acne and give me good things. But God's power was at work in me, the scripture says, to change me, to take me from being my selfish, self-centered person into someone to be more Christ-like, more loving, more gracious, more understanding, filled with his compassion. You see, God's power is real. We just don't see it sometimes. And maybe for you, you don't see God's power at work in your life. You think everyone else gets it. Everyone else is getting the breaks. Everyone else's life seems to be going easy. You don't know what they're going through. Maybe someone at work gets a promotion. You got passed over. Maybe you think that God has put you on the shelf like the elf and just forgot about you. You think, God, where is your power in my life? But I want you to know and hold on to that truth, God's power is at work in you. The second thing, God's power is at work for you. It's not just in you. His power is for you. The prophet Isaiah put it this way. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. His power is working for us. Youths. The word youths in the Hebrew word means like an Olympic athlete. It's the best of the best. And what Isaiah is saying, even the best of the best will grow tired, will wear out, will become spent. And maybe this hits home for you today because you went to Walmart like me and Margie yesterday on a Saturday, which is the most stupid thing you could ever think about doing. Margie and I are pushing the cart down the aisles, and nothing is where it's supposed to be. Everything's been moved. And there's a guy laughing at me and Margie because Margie's looking on her phone saying, like, where's this stuff at? He goes, you know what? I thought the same thing. They've moved everything around in here. And I'm just pushing a cart, avoiding the millions and billions of people that are walking around in Walmart. Don't go on a Saturday. Support your local businesses, but don't go on a Saturday. It's crazy. Some of you, you're worn out. It took everything in you just to get up and come to church this morning. You've got problems. It's coming towards the end of the year, and you're sitting there looking like, have I got everybody's gift ready? And you start putting these demands on yourself, and you're thinking like, I have no power. I'm worn out. I just need rest. But I look back, and I see that Jesus' power was real, and Jesus was working for me. It was changing me as I was growing up. And I'm being transparent here with you guys to have more trust in him and not in my own ability. I look back and I see his power working in me and through me. And today, I want you to see Jesus' power can work in and for you. One of the heroes of faith is Paul. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. He had a weakness. Said he had a thorn in his side, and he prayed, not once, not twice, but three times, Lord, take this away, take this away, take this away, take this away. And God responds, 2 Corinthians, but he said to me, this is God, says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, not your power, my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, you've got the weakness, but my power is made perfect in you. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, therefore I am strong. I don't know if you're at that point today, but no matter where you are, God loves you. God cares about you, and God has a plan for you. You see, Christ's power is real. It's not just something we read about in a book and say, oh, that's nice. Jesus' power is working in us to change us, to make us more like him. It's working for us. When we are weak, he is strong. And finally, the last principle I want to leave you with is his work is the power through you. He's not just working for you. He's not just working in you, but he's working through you. It's amazing to me that God would use us, failed, flawed people, to be the voice of the gospel, to tell other people the good news of the gospel. He's put it on our shoulders. This is what it says in Acts. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. This is Jesus talking. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I want to remind you today, every single one of us, that you, as a Christ follower, are a minister. You have a role to play. A lot of you, a lot of us, we think like, oh, it's about the pastor. And I've heard people say, hey, Paul, how many people go to your church? It's not Paul's church. It's not Howard's church. It's not Edwin's church. This is the church of Jesus here in this place. And you are just as important as me. I grew up in the Methodist church, and in the Methodist church, they bang you on the head about you are a minister. We are all ministers. We're all called to share the good news of the gospel. Jesus wasn't just talking to a privileged few. He's talking to all of us. I'll give you an example. I love this. First time I went on a mission trip to Poland. I was a young buck, you know, and I was going, and the preacher was like, hey, man, I just need you to just kind of lead worship, you know. So I get over there, and I got my guitar, and I'm thinking like, okay, I can speak German. I'll tell you what, Polish is nothing like German, nothing. You got a Germanic language, and then you have a Slavic language, and they don't even have vowels in their words. You know, you're like, what? You know? But I'm sitting there singing, and they're singing in their own language, but they're singing, and they're singing along with me, and I'm watching people worship, and I'm watching people crying, and I'm watching people just praying for one another, and it just moved me. I mean, they didn't understand a word I was saying. Well, they could understand English better than I could do Polish. But this is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He goes, and my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, it wasn't how fancy I was with the guitar and singing these songs, because most of them, I mean, once I started the song, they started singing on their own. They weren't listening to me. They were listening to the Spirit. And God was using me, and it was working through me. And there, really, honestly, there's no reason I should be standing in front of you preaching the gospel. Steve reminds me occasionally that his cousin that I went to school with goes, Paul Cook is your pastor? That's just an example of the grace and mercy of a loving God. And he's right. He's right. Jesus, think about this. Over 2,000 years ago, chose 12 of the most dysfunctional people you can imagine. He chose fishermen, and he chose tax collectors. And we don't even know what some of the others did. And he just chose them. And he says, you will be my witnesses. You will be my disciples. He didn't pick church leaders. He didn't pick the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And today, he wouldn't come into our churches and saying, hey, okay, I need your elder team, and I need your deacons. Oh, I need your trustees, and I need your pastors and your Sunday school teachers, and I need them to do all the work. No, he would come to you and say, I need you in my kingdom. And I want you to be my disciple. And as my disciple, you are going to go into this world with more power than you could ever imagine. And you're going to preach this gospel and you're going to baptize in my name. And people are going to come to know and love me because of what you do. At 3 point, we're just a bunch of ordinary people. And if you think about that, the Greek word for ordinary is idiotes. And we get the word idiot. Idiotes. The actual word is idiotes. I'm an idiot, and I dare say that we're all idiots. We're just ordinary people. Ordinary people that have been called by an extraordinary God to do something that the world doesn't understand. And if God can take 12 dysfunctional people from all walks of life and set this world on fire, so much so that the scriptures are still relevant today. Their message is still relevant today because it's the timeless message from God himself. Imagine what us at 3 Point Bible Church, what we could do. Imagine what we could do if we all started owning our role as ministers, taking ownership of what it means to be a Christ follower. When we allow Jesus' power to work for us, to heal us, and to bring signs and miracles and wonders, when we let Jesus' power work through us and in us to change us, imagine what we can do. I'm going to ask Steve to come up, and I want him to share a picture of the church with you, where we're at and where we're going, and he's going to take some time to share with us. Will you pray with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you have called each and every one of us to be your witness, your disciples. Father, I pray that you would remind us that you are all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present. And because of that, Father, we are never on our own. Give us the words and the mission. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.